is the God of Jacob in Bethel. There's a strange passage in the prophet Amos. Turn to Amos, the 5th chapter, and I'll read verses 4 through 6. This is end-time prophecy, as we know from other things in the Scripture. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, Seek ye me, and ye shall live, but seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Now those names, as Bible students or students of Israel history know, are the names of places where Israel worshiped the God of Jacob, Bethel and Gilgal and Beersheba. And I've explained this before as an exhortation from the prophet to Israel not to seek the churches, not to seek religion, but to seek the God of Israel. And he uses the ancient names or the names of the ancient places of worship in Israel when he says this. Now we're going to do a study of Bethel particularly to see the history of it and why God would tell Israel in the end of the age not to seek Bethel because Bethel shall come to naught. Turn way back at the beginning to Genesis 12 where we read this name for the first time in the Bible and it has to do with Abraham. Genesis 12, this is shortly after the call of Abraham and we'll begin reading in verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Haion on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So in this case, Abraham worshiped God not in Bethel but near Bethel. And as we go along here, we'll see there is a Mount Bethel and there's also a city by the name of Bethel, and there is a place. The place is in Genesis 28, after Jacob's dream, where we read this word used the next time. Genesis 28, beginning in verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And if you'll read the margin there, that's a Hebrew word for meaning, which means the house of God. So Jacob was so impressed by what had happened to him there that he called this place Bethel or the house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. There was a previous name to it. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So this is a spot where Jacob felt the presence of God and where he made a vow, in effect saying, God, if you will be with me and keep me, then I will give you the tithe or the tenth unto you. So Bethel is and should be a very hallowed name in the history of Israel, at least because of this action. Now later when Jacob was with Laban, we read his story of this to some extent in Genesis 31. Beginning in verse 1, And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's. And you remember the story that Jacob got part of the stock for his salary, but his lamb and his sheep and his cattle had more offspring than his father-in-law Laban's. Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all his glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And then he tells a story to his two wives as to what this God had said unto him. Verse 11, And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. And then God identifies himself to Jacob, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me, now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. So this place was so important, apparently, to Jacob and to Jacob's future. And remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and he was the progenitor of the race of Israel, or the tribes of Israel. This name was so important that God identified himself to Jacob as, I am the God of Bethel. So you can see why this name is very important to Jacob's beginning, or the beginning of the children of Israel. Genesis 35, beginning in verse 1. And we'll read quite a lot of this. And God said unto Jacob, Rise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. So there must have been some problem, or there could have been some problem among all the servants that Jacob had. But when God told him to go to Bethel and worship him, Jacob deliberately then set aside uncleanness among his people and told them to put away strange gods. He was speaking, of course, to some of his servants and so on. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. So he actually cleansed all of the house of Jacob, both his own family and also his own servants. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Jacob, on the way to Bethel, was safe from his enemies. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Elon Bekeroth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. So this change of name from Jacob to Israel, and Israel means ruling with God, was made after Jacob cleansed his family, his servants, and all that he had in order to worship God at Bethel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations will be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. So Jacob actually did this twice. Once was a contingency. This was on his way to Laban before he had taken his wives, and he called that place where he met God Bethel. Now he has come back wealthy with wives and children, and of course for protection from his brother Esau, he prays to God, and in that place he again called the place Bethel, or God's house. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. So Benjamin was born after Jacob had been at Bethel, and God made all these marvelous promises, which in effect sealed the promises of Abraham and Isaac. God sealed them to Jacob, and then he again set up a stone, anointed it, and called it Bethel, which means the house of God. So you can understand that this name Bethel is a very hallowed name in Israel because of its connection with the original promises given to Jacob, Israel. Now turn to Joshua. And the next time we read of this is after Israel has been in Egypt, and of course has multiplied into several millions of people, have come out of bondage, and they're coming into Canaan land. Now the Canaanites occupy all of these places, including the Mount of Bethel, the city of Bethel, and of course the places that Jacob called Bethel where he set up the stones for anointing. Joshua 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And you remember that at Ai was where Israel suffered their first defeat after they came into Canaan land, because that Achan had taken this accursed thing from Jericho that he was not supposed to take. So their first defeat was near, not in, Bethel. And remember, all of this area was occupied by Canaanites, including Bethel, where Jacob had worshipped God. I've already covered most of that, of course, in the series on the Valley of Achor, and you know that after they corrected the error in Israel and got rid of the Babylonish garment and the Babylonish gold, that they then took Ai and they also took Bethel. Turn to Joshua 16, when this is giving the division of ancient Canaan land to the tribes of Israel. And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho on the east to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel. So there was a hill or a mountain also named the House of God. And goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and passeth along the borders of Arki to Eteroth, and goeth down westward to the coast of Japhleti, unto the coast of Bethhoron, the Nether, and to Gezer, and the goings out thereof are at the sea. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, took their inheritance. So Bethel was apparently the border of Joseph's territory, and if you look at a map on the back of the Bible, you'll find that it apparently was just that the city itself was just inside Benjamin's territory, but it was used as a dividing mark between Ephraim and Benjamin. Joshua 18, verse 21. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho, and Beth-Hogla, and the valley of Kizes, and Beth-Arabah, and Zemarim, and Bethel. So the actual city was inside Benjamin's territory, but the Mount Bethel was a dividing line or a marking line between the children of Joseph, the two sons of Joseph, and Benjamin. So again, the place and name of Bethel is important in the origination of the Israel people in Canaan land. Now turn to Judges 1, because here is the story of the taking of these territories. Judges 1, in verse 22, And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And then it tells the story of how the house of Joseph took Bethel back from the Canaanites. And I think it's important that we read what was done there, because an error was made by the children of Joseph when they took Bethel in Canaan land. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, Show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. Now this man would have had to have been a Canaanite, because the Canaanites occupied Bethel. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites, and built a city, and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. The children of Joseph, or the soldiers of Joseph, met a Canaanite coming out of Bethel, and they spared his life. They did take the city, but they spared his life. Then listen to the sequence of events here. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. And then if you read the rest of those verses, you'll see in 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites, verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants, verse 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of, and so on. In other words, once Joseph made the error of releasing a Canaanite and not slaying them, then the rest of the tribes began to do the same thing in Canaan, and they did not drive out the Israelites. Now turn to Deuteronomy 7, and let's read the law, because I believe what they did not do there has a bearing on Amos' prophecy that Israel, in the end of the age, was not to seek Bethel. Because remember, the history here would show you that Bethel was a very holy place to Jacob Israel. This is where he worshipped God, and God gave to him the promises of his fathers. Here is the commandment to the children of Israel given by God through Moses. We'll begin reading in Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. This is God's command to Israel, and remember now what Joseph did. Joseph met the Canaanite and said, okay, we'll let you go if you'll tell us something about the defenses of the city. And they did. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. Here is what Canaanites would do to Israelites if Israelites allow Canaanites to live in the land or the towns or the cities where Israel lives. And then when Israel turned away and served other gods, so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. That's rather easy to understand, but in case they missed it, he repeated verse 22 through 26. And the Lord thy God will put out these nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. Now notice he goes back and forth from the statement, Israel, you are to destroy them, to the statement that I, God, will destroy them. In the mind of God, he was commanding Israel to destroy the Canaanites, which was what? Not Israel's destruction, not Israel's will, but God's will. So therefore, it was God's destruction on these Canaanites that lived in the land. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou hast destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. We were discussing that somewhat in the study class this morning before church about public schools, as to whether we should allow our children to go to the public schools and associate with these, in effect, the heathen and the unbelievers and the ungodly. Now, if God Almighty is telling adult Israelites that if you associate with these wicked, evil Canaanites, they will turn you from God, how much more should we say our little children should be protected from the same people in the same things? I just gave you that as an example, that God didn't trust adult Israelites to stand in the presence of the Canaanites. Perhaps our little children shouldn't be trusted to either. Deuteronomy 12, verse 1 through 3. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers gave thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. That would be a pretty complete removal of everything that was ungodly and anti-God in the land of Israel. Verse 29, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You be careful that you do not even go through the rituals by which they serve their gods. You don't find out how they worship their gods, and then you worship the God of Israel the same way. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth, have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish it. And again, that's rather plain reading and simple to understand, that Israel was commanded when they came into Canaan land to destroy not only the people, but every vestige of their religion. Even the very trees and stones upon which they worshiped were to be torn down and ground into dust, so there would be nothing remaining of their abominable religion that would be in the land of Israel. So we can see that right at Bethel, the tribe of Joseph made an error when they allowed a Canaanite to live who came out of Bethel, and it began, of course, a series of violations where the rest of the tribes then began to do the same thing. They did not destroy all of the Canaanites. Turn to 1 Samuel. Samuel was a godly prophet in Israel. And we'll read what he did, and this, of course, would have been many years later. 1 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. So Samuel did righteous judgment in all of these cities, which included Bethel and Gilgal, two of the cities named in that prophecy of Amos that we read that told Israel in the end of the age not to seek Bethel and Gilgal. So here is another place where Bethel was used for righteous judgment in Israel. So far, we have read that Bethel means the house of God, and so far it has been mostly pluses for Israel. Jacob used that title for the place where he worshiped God and where God gave him, or sealed to him, the promises of his fathers, Abraham and Isaac. After Israel's defeat at Ai, Bethel was the very next city conquered by the Israel people, and Joseph also took Mount Bethel and the city. So all of the places with the name of Bethel came under Israelitish dominion. However, remember that one error that Joseph made when they took the city of Bethel. They let a Canaanite live, and then the other tribes began to do the same thing, because I'm going to have more to say about that error later on. All right, now turn to 1 Kings. This is after the division of the kingdom. We're now down in Israel history several hundred years, and the kingdom has been divided after the death of Solomon, and Rehoboam and Jeroboam are the respective kings over the southern house of Judah, which was at Jerusalem and the northern house of Israel, which was at Samaria. The northern kingdom was under Jeroboam, and we read this in 1 Kings 12, beginning in verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So Jeroboam is ruling in Samaria over the northern house of Israel, mostly the 10 tribes, and he says in his heart, I'm afraid my people, because they have worshipped at Jerusalem for so long, will go back to Jerusalem to worship, and if they do, then they may give their allegiance to Jerusalem and Judah. So he thought in his heart he had to do something to stop this possibility, and here's what he did. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So he made 2 golden calves for Israel to worship instead of them going back to Jerusalem to worship the God of Israel. And he set one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. So he put one of them in Bethel, in the house of God. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Now notice how easy it is for the Israel people to turn away from God and sin against God upon the command of the king. And you'll find this throughout the history books of Israel, that whenever Israel or the Judah kingdom had a wicked king and he worshipped other gods, so did the people. And when they had a good king, and he attempted to turn the whole nation back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then he did. And Jehoshaphat and some of these good kings, Hezekiah, turned the whole nation by what the king was doing. And I think we sometimes do not understand how important what our leaders do is to the people. And you can find that in the history of Israel. This king had just come out, the separation of the kingdom. They had worshipped Jehovah in Jerusalem. He set up a golden calf. He said, worship it. And Israel did. And he did more. And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levi. So the king set up priests who were not supposed to be priests in Israel. He put up fraudulent priests to lead the people. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart. So he set up the feast, the wrong feast, worshiping the wrong God, even a false date. Everything about the religion in the northern house of Israel set up by the king was false, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So this king set up a totally false sacrifice, including fraudulent priests appointed by the king in this hallowed place called Bethel. Going right on in the next chapter. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar, this is the prophet, crying against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Here is a prophecy by a priest of the Most High God coming to Jeroboam and telling him that men will be burnt upon the altar of Bethel, and in fact the bones of these false priests will actually be burned upon this altar in Bethel, and he names the man who will do it. It'll be a king by the name of Josiah. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And then the rest of that entire chapter is about the strange things that happened to that prophet, but his prophecy was verified by another prophet in the very end of that chapter, where we read, "After this thing Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated them, and he became one of the priests of the high places." So Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin by the golden calves, set up a whole separate false priesthood throughout all the land. And this thing became sin under the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth. Now, I'm going to read some other things in here about Jeroboam. This is so important because it was Jeroboam who began the false worship in the northern house of Israel, which eventually led to their banishment into Assyria. And we'll find out from reading this that it was the sin of the golden calf in Bethel that put Israel in captivity in Assyria. 1 Kings 14, this warning was given to Jeroboam, and I can't read all of the verses. You should read all of these chapters right on through chapter 18, because this is the story of the condemnation by God that Israel would go into captivity because of this. 1 Kings 14, beginning in verse 7. He told the prophet, "Go, tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, forasmuch as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it all be gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it. Arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die." This was Jeroboam's son. "And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam." He was pronouncing upon Jeroboam that every one of Jeroboam's children would die by the sword and would not be buried, would not even be put in a grave, because of this sin that Jeroboam had laid upon the children of Israel by building the golden calf in Bethel and, of course, appointing the false priests in all of Israel. "Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day, not even now. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up." And listen to the reason. "Because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin, and who made Israel to sin." Here's a condemnation of the whole nation. The whole nation of Israel will suffer because this king brought sin in Israel and caused the nation to sin according to his sin. 1 Kings 15, verse 27 through 34. "And Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, for Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon." And this is a story of how these kings conspired against each other and actually assassinated each other and everything. "And even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah," now remember, Asa was king over the southern kingdom of Judah, it's just giving the time element, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass, when he reigned, that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed, until he had destroyed him, according unto the saying of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. Because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, and which he made Israel sin, by his provocation wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. So God slew a descendant of Jeroboam because of Jeroboam's sin and the tragedy that it brought upon the whole nation of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And there was war between Asa, that would be of Judah, and Baasha, a king of Israel, all their days. So these two portions of Israel actually had war all of the days of these two kings. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all Israel in Tirzah 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Here's how he did it. And he walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. This is repeated a number of times, that these kings who followed after committed this sin, and then it will be said, he walked in the ways of Jeroboam. Chapter 16, verse 7. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed him. Verse 13. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Eli his son, by which they sinned, and by which they made Israel to sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities or their false gods. Verse 18 and 19. And it came to pass, when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died. This one committed suicide for his sins which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. King after king is listed here, and his sin is listed as what? As the sin of Jeroboam, by which he made Israel to sin. Verse 25. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Verse 30. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So now, after several kings have come along, they still are continuing the same sin of Jeroboam, and they are getting worse. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So you see, this just continued, and it got worse and worse, and it all began with false religion in the house of God, in Bethel. Jeroboam sat up the false gods in Bethel, and the people came and worshiped the false gods in Bethel. Turn over to 2 Kings 10. Now, this is about Jehu, and you should read all of it, because Jehu first slew all of the prophets of Baal. He was setting things aright, to some extent, in the northern house of Israel. However, verse 28, thus Jehu served Baal out of Israel. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel by destroying the Baal gods. But listen to the next verse. Howbeit, from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the golden calves that were in Bethel and that were in Dan. So Jehu did destroy Baal priests, and he still left the golden calves where? in the house of God, in the place where God was supposed to be worshipped. Verse 32, in those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coasts of Israel. Why? Because of their continued sin against the God of Israel by following the false religion set up by Jeroboam. Where? In the house of God, at Bethel, at the very hallowed name of Israel. All right, I think that's a good place to stop. All right, we'll continue that next time, God willing. And I'm reading all of this as you can begin to see that there is a very logical and scriptural reason why God Almighty warns Israel in the end of the age not to go to Bethel. And Bethel is the house of God, the place of worship, and Bethel has a history of a false god and false priest. Remember, Jeroboam set up a false god by these golden calves in Bethel, and he told Israel to sin, and then he did what? He appointed false priests who then taught false religion to the people. And we'll see how this goes right on down to the modern time and why God told Amos, you warn Israel in the end of the age not to seek their salvation in what they believe is the worship of God in the house of God. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Our Father and our God, we do praise your name for these warnings that thou hast given by the prophets and the history of Israel that shows us wherein our fathers did sin. Father, we pray for your forgiveness for our sins and our turning away backward. We pray for this entire nation and this people. We know that you have made a covenant with our fathers and you have sealed it with your own blood that we shall turn unto thee. And we just pray in this interim time, in the days and years between now and the kingdom, that you'll turn us to you and turn us to be thy servants to preach your word, to teach righteousness to Israel. We ask all of this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.